for any of us to wash away on our own or to pray away on our own power. But God's grace is greater. I love how Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so God's grace is his undeserved kindness, his undeserved mercy towards us. And so this morning, as we come to God's word, God's grace is always at the focal point of his word, guiding us, directing us, pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 16. We are coming to the last chapter in this letter, and we've been having some off and on pauses and going forward in the series through Romans. We started this back in 2023. I appreciate your patience and bearing with these messages, but I hope that it's been encouragement to your heart, and as it has been to mine, to just study the book of Romans and to see how it's not just in God's word, but how it applies to our lives as Christians. So Romans chapter 16, it's the last chapter in the book of Romans. If you're using the Pew Bible, it is, I believe, on page 950 in the Pew Bible. In your bulletin, there's also an insert that could help you as we go through and as we walk through this passage of Scripture. Let's have a word of prayer, though. As we come to God's word, let's pray that as we come to a chapter that sometimes is just kind of read quickly through because it's at the end, may God help us to see good truths that are here to help us in our life as Christians. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is our foundation at Open Door Bible Church. And so, Father, I pray that we will not just hear your word this morning, Lord, but your spirit would help us to be hearers and doers of the word, to hear and understand and by your grace live out and obey and to see the principles and the truths you have for us in your word. As we see in your word this morning, a lot of names of Christians that we'll never meet until eternity when we see them. We thank you for the godly relationships that the Apostle Paul was able to have in his ministry. I pray this would encourage us to pursue godly relationships for your glory, to pursue a desire to love one another and to help each other grow in our walk with Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Please help your Holy Spirit, Father, to have free reign and access in our hearts and minds this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you are in Romans chapter 16, we are going to take this last chapter and break it down into three different sermons. So this morning we're going to look at this closing. It's a heartfelt closing that Paul gives in this letter, and we're going to divide it into three parts. So this morning we're going to look at the first 16 verses, but before we look at those 16 verses, I'd like us to look back to what, and it's been a couple months almost, I believe, since we have been here, so I want to review what came up to this point, especially in chapter 15. So if you go back to chapter 15, verse 22, Paul shares his desire to see these Roman believers. Now, we'll find in our chapter today that he knows many of them from previous ministries, and now many of them have moved to Rome to minister in the church there. But a lot of people, he's never visited this church in Rome physically, and so he can't wait to visit them. I'm just going to read verse 22, just so we can catch up on the plans that Paul had to visit them. Verse 22, we see that Paul says, "This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints of Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When, therefore, I have completed this, and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that, by God's will, I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Does that sound like it'd be a good closing to a letter? It sure does. And it could have ended there, but Paul goes on, and actually with a custom of his day, was at the very end of a letter to give some greetings to people that might be receiving this letter. But normally you didn't have as many names as Paul will list in chapter 16. But before we jump there, what did Paul just say here? What's a lot of town, a lot of cities, a lot of names? What's going on? And maybe we're not, you know, up. I'm not as great with geography. Well, the reason I put that little map here, I'm going to breeze through this a little bit here. Well, actually, number one, we see that Paul planned on visiting the Christians in Rome. He hadn't been able to, but he wanted to. But as we look here, Paul, where that green star is, and you can look on your handout too if it's hard to see, that's where Corinth, that's the city of Corinth. And that's where Paul was when he was writing this letter to the Romans. And he says, I'm here in Corinth, and though he doesn't say it, we can understand that that's where he is. And he's had a wonderful ministry. In fact, he's writing here to the church in Rome. You see how it looks like it's not too far away, but it's quite a ways away, over 600 miles by land or even by sea at times as you do that, more by land. And he wants to go see them. He's wanted to many times, but God's been using him to share the gospel all the way through. You see that blue star where it says Dalmatia or Illyricum. That word comes up in chapter 15. He says the gospel has been able to be spread all over this Greek peninsula. And even up into Asia. And so the ministry that Paul had to take the gospel to where it had never been reached before, and this region was complete. And he says, this is why I haven't been able to come yet, because I wanted to make sure the gospel had been spread through this area. But now I'm ready to come to you. But before I do, he was going to go to Jerusalem, which is far to the east of here. Once that's done, I'm planning to come. As we looked at this, we saw he wanted to go to Rome, but he planned on heading to Jerusalem first. Before coming to Rome, he had been receiving monetary gifts, not for him, but for the church in Jerusalem. And he wanted to make sure those got there safe and sound to Jerusalem. And so he planned on God blessing his journey to Rome after that. And we, if you know the book of Acts, he would definitely come to Rome, but it wouldn't be the way he had planned. He would come as a prisoner. But God would still allow him to come to this church in God's perfect time. And that was a reminder to us as we looked to this passage last couple months ago, that we need to pray for one another, pray for our missionaries and their ministry endeavors, pray for others. God has a plan and pray that they see that. But Paul begged the Christians to pray earnestly for him, that he would be delivered from those who would do him harm, and that God would bless his ministry to Rome. And he did in God's perfect way. The big idea we looked at last time is the best plans are surrendered to God and bathed in prayer. And that's what Paul does here. Have you seen that in your life? We can make plans. Maybe you're even thinking about the summer coming up, vacation, or maybe even this week. We have plans, or even tomorrow, even today, you have plans. But we must always surrender those to the God and say, Lord, we want your will. And that's what Paul does here. But he lays out, I want to come see you. And then he closes that section. Today we come to this next section. So I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 to begin with, and then we'll work through this section by section. In the first part of this closing personal greetings of chapter 16, Paul's going to list the name of a lady that the people of Rome had never met. Verse 1, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Kenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever way she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. As we start working through this list of names and this heartfelt closing that Paul gives, we see that Paul introduces the church in Rome to a commendable and godly woman named Phoebe. She was actually the one bringing this letter in a bag. We don't know how she carried it, but she brings this letter of the letter to the Romans to this church. Many times at the end of his letters, Paul would say, greet Tychicus, or greet Timothy, or greet whoever is bringing that letter. Because remember, the postal system has come a long way, but it was definitely snail mail then. And many times, even though the Romans had a mail system that eventually would get going, it wasn't fully in swing here. And sometimes you just want to make sure that these documents got directly hand-delivered. And so Phoebe is actually from Kenchrea. And looking at that map there that we had before, do you see where the green star is with Corinth? Right next to it, they're so close, they might look like one dot. There's another little black dot just to the east of Corinth, and that's this port city of Kenchrea. If you look on there, you can see how water meets from one side and the other side of Corinth. Kenchrea was on the east port or bay of the city of Corinth, and it was a very important port. Ships, trades coming from this area would dock there. And then as they unloaded their cargo, it would go up to the northeast in Asia, or also up to the northwest in Dalmatia. And they'd work their way if they weren't going to come all the way around the Greek peninsula. It was a very important city, only about 5 miles from Corinth. So she was very familiar with the Corinthian church there, the church in Corinth. And so he introduces her as a servant of the church of Kenchrea. Some of your translations might say a deacon or a deaconess. This word, diakonon, is a word that can be translated as deacon, but also it's many times translated as minister or serving one or ministry. And as we look at the qualifications that even Paul himself through the Spirit lays out for deacons, we see that that is the office for men, not for women. So the word deacon there is more probably leaning more towards, as it says in the ESV, a servant or a minister. She serves well in this church. And some of the ways she serves, we see, if you look at the end of verse 2, she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. We don't know everything about her, but she seemed to have a financial means to be able to independently support some of the missionaries, including Paul, that went out. And she was willing to take this journey all the way to Rome. Of course, we don't know. Maybe she went to Rome quite often, depending on her family background. Again, we don't want to read too much in here. But Phoebe, he does say that she is, verse 2, worthy of being welcomed by the saints. Welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. One commentator said, Paul wanted the Roman Christians for them to put into practice with Phoebe the principles of love, humility, harmony, and hospitality that Paul had already encouraged them to practice in chapters 12 and chapters 14 and 15 of this letter. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we'd like to look at some of the truths and applications or exhortations that Paul gives, how that's already been mentioned in this letter to the Romans. But for sake of time this morning, we are just going to move and look at some of these people, but draw some applications and some thoughts from the text. But she was serving in the church. It says, and please welcome her. They had never met her before, but Paul says, please welcome her. She is worthy of being received and welcomed by the saints. The word saint means holy ones. Every Christian is a holy one. And so this is how she ought to be received. Then he goes on in verse 3 and 4, or actually through verse 5, and Paul greets two close friends, Aquila and Prisca, or Priscilla. Prisca, if maybe you've heard of Priscilla, Aquila, and Priscilla earlier, and Paul got to meet them when he first came to the city of Corinth. They were actually from Rome. Acts 18:12 says, Paul, when he came to Corinth, if you want to jot these references down, you don't have to, but in Acts 18, verse 2, it says, Paul, when he came to Corinth, he found a Jew named Aquila, who was a native of Pontus, who recently came from Italy, where Rome is, with his wife Priscilla, because Emperor Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. So Paul, when he came to Corinth, he didn't know anybody there, but God directed him to find this Jewish couple who were living in Italy, and because of the edict that had been given, they were expelling Jews at that time, they had to leave, and they came to Corinth because they were traders. They had a trade, and their trade was working with animal skins, making tents, making coverings. It says later on in Acts 18 that after this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of his brothers, and he took with him Priscilla and Aquila, and they would eventually go to Kenchrea, where Phoebe is, but also they would travel to Ephesus. And in Paul, when he wrote 1 Corinthians and he sent that letter to them, he included a greeting from Aquila and Priscilla, who were with him in Ephesus. So Aquila and Priscilla became very close friends. The name Prisca is the more formal name. Priscilla is the more kind of relaxed, informal name, but it's the same couple. And look what Paul says. He says, greet Priscilla and Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their lives for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. This couple apparently had risked their lives for Paul's sake. We see in some of his travels where he was kicked out of towns because people didn't want to hear the gospel, and Aquila and Priscilla many times would keep him with them or take care of him. This word, this phrase also could be they hadn't risked their necks, but also it could be they had greatly extended themselves. They had stretched out their necks in a way to be a blessing to Paul, had gone above and beyond and been a blessing to Paul over the years. We see that they were well-loved and received by the church. The Gentiles, these people had never heard the gospel. They were so thankful for the ministry of Aquila and Priscilla because they had helped support Paul, and through their support and through their own ministry, people had come to Christ. We see one case in Acts 18 where a man named Apollos, who loved the Lord God and yet had not been fully aware of the truth of the gospel, they teach him the truth of the gospel of Christ, and they preach, and he preaches about the death, burial, and resurrection, and God uses Apollos to be a powerful preacher for the glory of God. But this couple was used by God to help disciple him, to help encourage him to understand the truth of the gospel well. Discipleship. They were a disciple-making, life-touching life couple. They had touched Paul's heart, and they also were now back in Rome. The edict was done. They had gone back to their home country, and they are there, we find, in the church in Rome. And notice, it says at the verse 5, greet also, what does it say? The church in their house. They were again using what God had given them to host, using their home as a way to host a local Christian church in their home once again. They did that in Ephesus. They did that in Corinth. Now they're doing it here, serving God. So he says, greet them. These are close friends that Paul had, and he gives them an extended greeting. Incidentally, this is how the early church met. They didn't have buildings like we have today. They many times would meet from house to house, as it says in Acts 2, meeting from house to house, breaking bread, rejoicing, growing in Christ, and sharing the good news of Jesus throughout the city. Well, there's a lot of other names here, and we're just going to go through these pretty quickly. Some, Paul gives some clarification. Some, we just have a name. But after we look at all these names, the Holy Spirit intended for these names to be preserved in his scripture for a purpose. What is that purpose? Well, we might consider that today. So starting in verse 5, the last part of verse 5, he says, greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. That's all we know. We don't know how that took place. More than likely, Epaphroditus, he may have first heard the gospel first came to Asia when Paul went to Ephesus. And so it could be that he was there in the city of Ephesus, came to Christ, believed in Christ as Paul, Aquila, Priscilla, and their ministry team were sharing the good news of Christ there. But now he is in Rome, and he was the first convert. He's no longer in Asia. He's now in the European theater sharing the good news of Christ in Rome. But he says, greet him and the Lord. I'll do my best with some of these names, because some of them are a little tricky to read. This next one's pretty easy, though. Look at verse 6. Greet Mary, or maybe your translation might read Miriam. It could be Mary or Miriam, who has worked hard for you. She's worked hard for the church family there. And Paul has heard of this. Greet Mary. But Paul also knows her. As we go on, we're going to see that most of these people Paul has served in ministry with, and now they are taking the good news of Christ to Rome. So we see Mary, and she has worked hard. Aren't you thankful for brothers and sisters in Christ who work hard to be a blessing to the body of Christ? Paul says, greet her. And also, he wants them to be aware that she has worked hard for the people there for Christ. We look at verse 7. We see a couple other names. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Now, we don't see these folks' names pop up anywhere else, but we see some details here. This is probably a husband and a wife. We can't be sure. It could be brother or sister, but this couple, these two people, the man Andronicus and this woman Junia, they were Christians before Paul became a Christian. And he says they're my kinsmen. So it seems that they're probably Jewish people who had come to Christ and put their faith in Christ, and they were saved before him. But they are also, he says, my fellow prisoners. It could be that they have also suffered for Christ, and they have been in prison at times with Paul for the sake of the gospel. But now they're in Rome. He says, greet them. And notice, they are well known to the apostles. So we think of the apostles when Christ was here. It could be that these Jewish believers were there when Christ was indeed ministering in Jerusalem. They have been some of the earliest converts to Christianity out of Judaism. But he says, greet them. Notice the greeting. He knows them by name. Verse 8, we've got to move on. Greet Ampelaetus, my beloved in the Lord. He says, I love him in the Lord. That's all we get. But there has been a relationship in the Lord that has grown in love for one another in Christ. Verse 9, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. I don't know how to pronounce that, so I'm going to say it, Stachys. Some of these names, if you would like to look deeper into some of these names, again, we can't know for sure, but some of these names many times were names that were not normally used for people who weren't slaves. Remember, slavery was a big thing. And I think these two names, many say these are names that were common for slaves because of what they meant. I don't have time to go into all the meanings of the names, but if you'd like some interesting resources on that, it is interesting to see, again, how this church, even in naming these names, Paul is listing people who were Jewish in the church, people who were non-Jewish in the church, Roman, Gentile, and people who were free and had wealth, and people who were slaves. And what's he doing in this greeting? He's saying the church is made up of Christians, where there is no longer Jew or Greek or bond or free. We are one in Christ. Greet one another. And I love these people. Greet them. Now, all of these people, we don't know all the details of how Paul knows them, but he says, greet them by name. We move on in verse 10. He says, greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Paul would say in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman not to be ashamed, who rightly divides the word of truth. This individual, Apelles, has been approved by Christ as living for the glory of God, and Christ approves. We go in verse 10, later on, the last part of verse 10, greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Now, this one's different. And the reason I shaded this in here on your handout, and also if you see asterisks in there, the asterisks mean there's other people that are welcome but not named. Notice what he said here in verse 10, greet those. Well, we don't know how many of those are, but there's a seem more than one or two or three. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Now, there's been a lot of things. Are these slaves? And Aristobulus is the slave owner. Notice he doesn't greet Aristobulus. Did you notice that? He doesn't say greet. He just greet those who are of the family of him or of the household of him. So, again, we have to be careful. It could be that Aristobulus was a Christian who had gone upon, he had passed away, and he's on to be with the Lord, but there's still those in his family living for Christ. We don't know all the details, but many think that this might possibly be someone who wasn't a believer, but who was a slave owner, who owned slaves, and there were many slaves in his household that had come to Christ. But again, we can't be sure. But some are thinking he might be possibly the grandson of Herod the Great, who did move to Rome, had this name, and died in AD 49. But we don't know for sure. But we do know that there were those in this man's family that he says to greet. There are believers there that are somewhat connected with this man. Verse 11, greet my kinsman Herodian. There it is. So he's more than likely a Jewish Christian named Herodian. You go to verse 11, verse B. Here's another one gentleman who's not greeted personally, but it's very similar to what he said to Aristobulus. Look at verse 11. He says, greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. So we don't know. Again, is this a slave owner and these people are here? Is this a believer who died and went to be with Christ, but it's family? But he greets those who are connected with this individual, those in Christ who are connected with this man's family and household. We move on in verse 12. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. He says, greet them. Verse 12, we go on some more, another names. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. This name Persis means someone who was from Persia. So we don't know exactly, but it could be that this is a believer who is in Persia, who now is in Rome, who is growing in Christ and part of a faithful member of this church family. But notice also, they have worked hard in the Lord. This is one of my favorites, verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. I've referenced this a number of times, even on Mother's Day. But Rufus, in verse 13, we don't know exactly who, but we do see the name Rufus pop up one other time, and we see it in Mark's gospel, Mark 15, 21, and it says that Simon of Cyrene, who was tasked with bearing the cross of Christ through the streets of Jerusalem as Jesus went to the cross, he had a son named Rufus. And some wonder if this is that same son. We don't know for sure. Rufus is a common name. But he also has a mother, and Paul doesn't list her by name, but he says his mother, who has been a mother to me as well, a sweet relationship. He says, greet Rufus and greet his mother. She has had a ministry of a mother to Paul. It's a sweet a sweet focus on their relationship. A couple more names, and then we'll move on. Verse 14, we get these couplets now of five names and then others. Verse 14, greet Asinocritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brethren or brothers who are with them. These were common names in that day for slaves. Some of them were named after Greek gods. Many times, a slave owner would name them as, I want you to be diligent, so I'm going to name you diligent. I want you to be efficient, so I'm going to name you efficient. I want you to be strong, and when I buy you off the slave block, I give you a new name. I own you, the slave owner would say. I give you this name. I want you to be strong, and I want you to be in control. Okay, so we don't know for sure, but he lists all these five, but also notice, and the brothers who are with them. So there's some connection that these men have, and it could be that there is a house church meeting, or this is one of the local churches, and these might be the leaders of that church and those who are with them in Rome. Rome had local churches all over the city that comprised the church of Rome. So it could be that. He does this again in verse 15. He lists five people, and then that, or the and greet Philo, greet Philologus, lover of the word, Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. So it could be here that there are another pocket of believers in this city, and there's a church that they are growing with together in the city. So he lists all these names. And then he starts closing down this section and with a very culturally appropriate greeting for them to give to one another. After listing all these names, all the backgrounds, slave, free, wealthy, poor, Jew, Gentile, but they're Christians. That's what matters most. Look at verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, again, our culture today, that sounds kind of weird, right? But not in Brazil, where Sarah grew up, but not in other countries. One of the greetings that you give in Brazil is you affectionately, you know, kiss each other's cheek. Just, you know, we do that in many other countries. That was how it was done here. But he says, do it with a holy kiss in the sense that you are holy together in Christ. Greet one another in wonderful affection. We might give hugs today, or we might give handshakes today, but he doesn't want this just to be a cold greeting. I want you to greet one another in the Lord, because you are one in Christ, and you're holy in him. This was a culturally appropriate welcome. It was a culturally appropriate greeting to a good and close friend. And Paul would give the same encouragement at the close of other letters, such as the Corinthian epistles and 1 Thessalonians. But this was to be a greeting every Christian in Rome would give to other Christians in Rome, regardless of their social status. That's important. And Paul has been talking about that throughout his letter. Lord willing, next week we can look at that a little more. And then to close the section, Paul shares a greeting from all the churches of Christ. Look at this. All the churches of Christ greet you. Wow. Paul had been and pretty much all the churches of Christ. And he had, it seems, been telling them about what God is doing in Rome. I keep hearing from these friends of mine who are over there in ministry, from Aquila, from Priscilla, we're hearing what God's doing. We are thankful for that. And I long to see him one day. Paul was probably in every church sharing what God is doing to encourage the church. And so when he says, all the churches of Christ greet you, whether they're in Jerusalem, in Asia, in Greece, and they're not Roman, they're greeting you because they're one in Christ. So there's just an overflowing focus on loving one another in Christ and greeting one another. This is over the top compared to any other letters that Paul lists. There are about 27 people named, definitely over 20 people named, that are Christians in this letter. Why does Paul go to such an extent? Well, let's consider this big idea this morning. The church is called. What Paul is impressing here, he is impressing this reality on these Christians. The church is called to be a life-touching life, disciple-making community. Have you ever heard that term, life-touching life, before? We heard it a lot when I was at Northland, and I don't know if it was something particular to there or it's passed to other ministries or they had it before. But basically, life-touching life is personally investing your time and attention in the life of someone else for their spiritual good. And Paul had ministered with these people. We see he knows them, many of them, as fellow believers and fellow laborers. disciple-making, being in a disciple-making community. This is what these people are doing. They're working hard for the ministry there. They're loving. They're laboring. Aquila and Priscilla have been impacting many for the glory of God and discipleship. The church is called to be a life-touching life, disciple-making, and community. This community is to be a family of believers. Yes, different walks of life, but a community of believers growing in our walk with Christ. We have many times referenced this blueprint for the church or Christian life, and we exist for the glory of God. This is all from Scripture, and God's Word is our foundation, and God's Word is how we know how we can live for His glory, what it means to love God, to love others, what it means to grow in grace, what it means to worship the Lord, and worship of God leads to discipleship, community discipleship. Paul was encouraging these people, even by naming names, and even in verse 16, greet one another. All the churches greet you. Some quick observations before we close this morning. Paul cultivated close friendships with many of these Christians because they had served together in gospel ministry. Now, we don't know all the details, but we definitely know Aquila and Priscilla did. And we see a number of these other people named my fellow laborers. They were my fellow prisoners in the Lord, or they're serving hard for Christ. He knows because he's ministered with them before. Ministering together in biblical gospel ministry, it naturally, if it's done the right way, it naturally cultivates close, lifelong friendships with other Christians. That's a beautiful thing. And even though Paul has not seen a number of these friends for some time, that doesn't mean he stops thinking about them. When Paul says, I pray for you, he prays for them, and they pray for him as well. We also see that in this section I mentioned, Paul greeted over 20 Christian friends by name. If you count the two men that we're not sure if they were saved or not, or though he doesn't greet them personally, if you count them, it's 27 names, plus all the those's in there, the church members. But he lists at least 20 by name, Christian friends. It got me thinking, how many Christian friends could I greet by name with that same thankfulness as they come to mind? Or am I connected even in my church family? Can I count and think of 20 people in my church family that I am thankful for, or 20 people in general, maybe in my local church or outside, Christians that I am thankful for that I could greet by name? And this is just, Paul would go, he could go on and on and on and on for all the people God had led him to. Some of us might think, well, I'm not like Paul. We don't travel the world. But all of us, hopefully, if we're Christians, know Christians that we love and are thankful for in the Lord. I'm thankful for that here at Open Door. Thankful for the relationships that God is building, continuing to mold for His glory. We need to be thankful for one another in the Lord. Regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of, you know, even in Paul's day, where they came from. Of course, most people are here from Pennsylvania. We're here. Thankful for how you welcomed our family in from, you know, all over the place. Brazil, Colombia, Virginia, military brat. But in Christ, we are one in Him. We need to be thankful for one another. Also, just observation, I mentioned this, but Paul was probably, if you look through this carefully, and if you'd like to see, again, if you want to be direct to a commentary that helps explain this a little more, but Paul was probably also greeting five local churches with what we call the church in Rome. If you look at chapter 16, verse 5, just briefly, notice how he says, and you can see this one in verse 5, greet also the church in their house. And notice, I love how it says the church in their house. The house, the building, wasn't the church. The church was the people. The word church literally means ecclesia, a called out gathering of people. A called out gathering. And this is a Christian gathering. It's a Christian saints ministering together in their church. So that's one house church. If you look down in verse 10, he says, greet those who belong to the family. Many think that that might also be they belong. They are another church, local church. We can't be dogmatic, but it could be. Same in verse 11. Greet those who belong to the family of Narcissus. That could be another church. You look down at verse 14. Greet the brothers who are with them. Also in 15, the brothers who are with them. So it could be that these are pockets of local churches throughout. And Paul may not have met every one of these, but he's heard about them. And he's heard about these churches meeting. It could be that he's also greeting in the church of Rome all these local churches, again, encouraging them to love one another. To not fall into the trap that the Corinthian church did, where some said, well, I want to follow Paul. Well, I follow Peter. Well, I follow Apollos. Well, we follow Christ. No division. He doesn't want division. He wants these churches to be growing and Christians loving one another. So, what does this mean for us? Well, could I encourage us with this thought this morning from God's Word? Actively and intentionally cultivate meaningful relationships with other Christians in your local church and abroad. I forgot to include that part on there, but it's on your handout. Actively and intentionally cultivate meaningful relationships with other Christians in your local church and abroad. I'm thankful for our missionaries. Pray for our missionaries. Get connected with them. Encourage them. We know people, all of us probably know other Christians that aren't part of this body. Encourage them. But specifically, definitely focus in the church here at Open Door Bible Church that we are loving and actively, intentionally cultivating these relationships for the glory of God. The church is called to be a life-touching life, disciple-making community. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Sam, I hear about these relationships and I even see this at times at Open Door Bible Church. There's a relationship between believers, but I don't have a relationship with God through Christ. I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. I want to know how I can have an eternal relationship with Christ. I would love to show you from God's word. It basically comes down to ABCs. Admit that you are a sinner. Admit that what God's word says is true, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then B, believe. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting eternal life. And then call. Romans 10:13 says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can call out in your heart to the Lord. It doesn't even have to be a perfectly worded prayer. It's just, God, I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I believe that Christ died and rose again for me. Please forgive me my sin and save me. And God says he's willing and ready. That's grace. He's willing and ready to forgive. If you would like to know more about what it means to be a Christian, please come and see one of the believers here. If you'd like to talk to me, I'd love to show you from God's word how you become a Christian. And also, then you become part of God's church. And you get to have a life-touching, life disciple-making community and growth in your life for God's glory. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for how you've continued to show yourself faithful and true and strong. We thank you for the relationship, the eternal relationship that every Christian has with the Lord. I pray that our relationship with Christ would be cultivated, would be molded in the way that you want it to, so that it impacts our relationships with one another. I pray that Open Door would grow and continue to grow and thrive and become more and more a life-touching, life disciple-making community for the glory of God, not just here in our own church, but around the world and around our community as we interact with other Christians who are faithfully trying to follow Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.